Good morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Joining us now, we have someone that you haven't seen a lot of recently because the Coronavirus Task Force has not been doing their briefings from the White House. But at one time, we saw her almost every day, or at least once in a while. Seema Verma, she is the director of CMS. That's the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. She is the administrator for that program. Director Verma, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Good to have you. Now, the main reason we wanted to have you on today is because there is a major deadline coming up, not right away, but fairly soon, because we're going to go into open enrollment soon. Is that right?
That's exactly it. And, you know, it's good news for open enrollment. You know, when I started at the Medicare program, right after the election, Donald Trump was very clear with me. He said, I want to protect the Medicare program, want to make it stronger, deliver better care, lower costs, and more options for seniors. And that's exactly what we've done. And it's just great news. Across the board, across the nation, premiums have gone down by about 34%. So for this year's open enrollment, our seniors are going to see lower prices. And that also extends to our Part D programs, which is prescription drug plans. And there we've seen a 12% decline. The other thing the president's offering this year is we have over 1,600 plans that are offering our senior savings plan, which essentially is offering insulin for $35 or less a month. So that's a substantial savings for our seniors, about 66%. And then the final piece, I think the president has changed a lot of the policies in Medicare to make it easier for our health plans to offer more flexible benefits. So next year, we're going to see that 94% of these health plans are going to be offering telehealth benefits. And they also just have flexibility to kind of tailor the benefits to your individualized needs. So, you know, maybe somebody's recovering from a surgery in the hospital. They need some in-home meals delivered. They need some in-home support. Or it could just be something simple like a ride to the doctor's office. But the idea here is to give these plans more flexibility to support patients, keeping them healthy, independent, and in their homes.
You know, it's a great reminder, and it's a wonderful thing. I had, you know, so much happens, you forget. You forget about the insulin price cost drop. You forget about the telehealth innovations that have happened because of COVID. And even something like getting people, you know, enrolled in Medicare, I guess it's, again, my ignorance of not being old enough to have experienced for myself. I always just kind of figured that Medicare was a lot like Social Security. You got to a certain age and it just happened. You didn't actually have to go do any kind of enrollment. You know, I mean, I can't be the...
You know what? It does happen. I mean, you're right. You get enrolled. You have to take a few active steps. But the important thing is that every year you have the ability to change your plans. And that's where I think we're trying to encourage people to shop around because there are good deals out there. But, you know, it's just an incredible opportunity with these lower prices.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things you kind of mentioned, you were talking about insurance plans and all the different ones that are out there. I think one of the biggest challenges in trying to shop for healthcare insurance is knowing what things are really going to cost, reading the fine print, understanding all of that. And the president, I think it was just yesterday, made this announcement that we're going to have a whole new approach to requiring that kind of transparency from health insurance. Is that right? For the cost of your procedures?
That's exactly it. This is probably the most consequential change that we've seen in healthcare, and probably the most significant action that any president has taken to lower costs. So what's going to happen is we're going to have price transparency across the board. And you know as well as I do, when you go in for a healthcare service, you have no idea what it's going to cost. You know, x-rays, MRIs, and you just get a bill on the back end. And what we're finding is that there is a lot of variation when it comes to healthcare pricing. You know, for a C-section, for example, in one area, so the same market, you can get a C-section at one hospital for $15,000 and at another hospital for $40,000. So we're seeing differentials in prices almost fivefold. So that's very significant. And there's an opportunity here for patients to be able to shop around for the best deal. So President Trump standing up to these special interest groups because, you know, they want to keep things the way that they are. And this new requirement will now have hospitals, they're going to have to post all of their prices starting January. And then for insurance companies, they're going to now do two things. Number one, they're going to be required to give you a personalized estimate because it's going to depend on where you are in your deductible, what your plan covers. but you'll be able to get online on your phone an estimate of what a service is going to cost you.
God.
And then the second requirement is that these insurance companies just post all their prices publicly so anybody can see them.
It's like the clouds are parting and people are singing hallelujah is my reaction to something like this, because, you know, you go to the doctor and God bless them, okay, and God bless the nursing staff and the administrators or whatever, but they look at you like you've got three eyes if you ask them how much something's going to cost. You know, it's almost like they're indignant that you'd even have the audacity to ask a question like that. And I'm like, I shop for everything in my life based on price. And not only are they indignant,
but they can't
tell you half the time. They don't know what it's going to, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. In the modern era, you ought to be able to figure out how much something is going to cost in advance. So this, I agree with you. This is a huge game changer for insurance and for healthcare costs. I also wanted to ask, you were talking to Seema Verma. She is the administrator for CMS, the Medicare and Medicaid services. Because you're on the coronavirus task force, I also did want to ask you a couple of things about that. But before I get there, something that just happened in Florida. We had a big announcement about a grant program that we're drawing down federal money related to opioid addiction. And I just had never thought of this, but because I was going to have you on this morning, I wanted to ask you. We think of opioid addiction as a young person's problem typically, or maybe somebody who had, you know, a hospitalization and they got prescribed and then they got hooked. Is opioid addiction uniquely or particularly or even a big problem for seniors? I just don't know the answer to this.
So we definitely have seen some in our senior population, and as you said, sometimes people in the past, they're recovering from surgery and they get prescribed medications, and then the problem sort of arises from there. So now we've seen this, unfortunately, hit all ages.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought was the case, but since I had you on, I just wanted to make sure and check with you. I know you're in the coronavirus task force and you guys are having your meetings. One of the things that I have found the most challenging to really digest is, what should my attitude on therapeutics right now be? And the question is, we hear from the WHO that remdesivir doesn't really work, and then remdesivir gets approved by the FDA. We hear from the WHO that convalescent plasma they don't think really works, even though they haven't done the full study on it, but that's what they think. But a couple of months ago, that was being preached like the gospel to help people have, you know, at every stage of the disease. Can you clarify maybe just a little bit about where we're at on some of these therapeutic approaches?
Sure. Well, I think the therapeutics are very encouraging, and it's actually contributed to why we're seeing lower mortality rates, especially in our senior population. I can tell you, when we first started with this pandemic, the mortality rates were 25%, 30%, but they've actually gone down significantly, you know, probably around hovering around 10% or less in some cases, some weeks. That being said, I think that's where we've seen these therapeutics have really helped the situation. Our doctors across the country are also more familiar with how to treat the disease. And so between remdesivir, convalescent plasma, dimethasone, all of those types of things are really helping to have a lot of patients across the country recover. And the mortality rate has really gone down by almost 80%. You know, I believe in the FDA. I think the scientists there are very deliberate, and so they're using data to make decisions. On remdesivir, what they show is that it actually decreases the length of stay that somebody has in the hospital. So we continue to look at remdesivir. I'm actually excited about some of the newer things that we're hearing about, some of the medications the president took, and I think the FDA is reviewing those, and, you know, hopefully we'll get a decision on that. But, you know, again, our American healthcare delivery system has really stepped up to the plate. Things are very different than what they were before. And you're seeing, you know, we're seeing a lot of cases, but you're also seeing a lot of people recover from this virus.
Yeah.
And the mortality rate going up significantly.
Yeah, I noticed the exact same thing. I mean, the high mortality rate was enormous at the beginning. It has been steadily declining. And so I know case numbers are not good, but given our much, much, much better ability to treat, they're not nearly as bad as I think sometimes people interpret them. The other question I had for you, we're coming up towards the holidays. We're obviously got Halloween, you know, is tomorrow. And then we've got Thanksgiving coming and then Christmas. One of the kind of things I haven't heard a lot about, but I hear it mentioned occasionally, is that family in home, especially in gathering, is one of the major vectors of transmission. Is that also what you guys are talking about at the Coronavirus Task Force?
Yeah, in fact, that's what we talked about this week, that, you know, as we're looking at a lot of these new infections, that's where we see the spread are these sort of smaller gatherings at people's homes. You know, I think across the country, as I travel around, you see people wearing masks and a lot of private businesses won't even let you into their establishment unless you're wearing a mask, and their employees have masks on as well. And so, as Dr. Redfield will say, it's not getting it in the town square. You're not getting it in public necessarily, but that's where we're seeing more of the transmissions. And so, you know, when it comes to these holidays coming up, we're just asking people, you really need to double down on those safe practices, washing your hands. You know, if you're sick or you're having any kind of symptoms, stay home, you know, isolate, get a test, wash your hands, socially distance. So I think people are going to have to use their best judgment for the holidays, especially with our elderly population or people with pre-existing conditions. You know, they're at particular risk, and they need to be very careful.
Absolutely. Seema Verma, I know we don't have any time left, so thank you. I really, really appreciate you being on the show this morning. I always have a million other questions I would love to ask, but she is the administrator for the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Thank you so much for explaining some of the changes this morning to our listeners and for continuing to work on improving access to health care and for reducing the cost of health care insurance. Thank you so much for the time this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.